We've had this series through February and March of what I call kind of essential reminders. And the first one was welcoming the Spirit. That's right, welcoming the Spirit. The Spirit enables us to do all things. The second one was? What was the second one? It was embracing the treaty. And Frank and his team are wanting to explore how we might do that intentionally. Okay? And then the third one. Who can remember? Beg your pardon? Beg your pardon? We sort of looked in marriages. Is that right? No, the third was on small groups. Sorry, small groups. Thanks, Elliot. And being a part of a small group. And then the fourth one was connecting with the bidder. And we looked at marriage. And then the next one was? Tell the person next to you. Next one? What was the next one? Ruby did it. What was it? The circle of security. And Ruby talked about children and how they leave a place of security and they sort of go on a sort of a circle, but inevitably, eventually, they want to come back to the place where there is safety and bonding. And so we were reminded on Children's Day about what happens inside of children. Okay? And then the next one that we did was in the area of last week. Yes, last week, people. The busy trap, and the solution to the busy trap was placing words where? Oh my goodness, I've got the hardest job in the world. The busyness trap is solved by placing words where? On your schedule, on your calendar. Your calendar has the power to alter who you can become. That was last week. And then this week, we have the second to last. And then finally, Ruby picks up something next week. So it's been these sort of essential reminders for the year. Okay. But a key part of that is remembering them. Otherwise, you can't remind yourself. Okay. So if you have your Bibles, can you come with me to Genesis? Genesis 29, and I want to read out a strange passage this morning. Say if we start from verse 11, okay, Genesis 29 and verse 11, and it reads this way. It says, "Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her dad. And as soon as Laban, her dad, heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, 'You are my own flesh and blood.' Now after Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, 'Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be.' Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Now Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. And Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, 'I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel.' Laban said, 'It's better that I give her to you than to some other guy. Stay here with me.' So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. Ah, but they seemed like only a few days. Because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed and I want to lie with her. Such a great book, this, isn't it? It's far better than 50 Shades. Anyway, not that I've read that book. So, here we go. Verse 22. Yes, I dug a hole there. Anyway, moving right along. So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob. And Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant girl Zippah to his daughter as her maid's servant. And when morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? I mean, the mind boggles. But let it boggle. Okay, we won't unpack that. Anyway, verse 26. Laban replied, it's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also, in return for another 7 years of work. And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maidservant. And Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. Interesting story. Now if you could flip over to Proverbs, okay? Could you come with me to Proverbs? And I want to read out from Proverbs 5, chapter 5, 18 and 19. And then you have to work out what the heck I'm going to talk about this morning. Proverbs 5 and verse 18 says this. It says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe. Oh, a graceful deer, Ruby. And then it goes on. And may her breast satisfy you always. And may you ever be captivated by her love. Did you hear the music? So, there's our text for this morning, my friends. What do you think we might explore today? Tell the person next to you. Okay, so let us pray. We need prayer this morning. Let us pray. Our God, we come to you this morning and we thank you that you are a God who dwells in reality. And you interface with the things that we interact with. And I just think you're a wonderful God who inhabits the world that you have created. And you love the things of this world. So grant us wisdom, grant us discernment, grant us ears to hear what your Spirit would whisper to us. And we all said, Amen. So people, let me just paraphrase that little story again with Jacob. Jacob, his eyes, they glanced upon this creature of lovely form. And he was besotted. He flipped. Something kicked in deep within him. And he just felt himself strongly attracted to this woman. And so he arranged this thing with the father of Rachel. And ending up kind of working for 7 years to get her hand. And you know, you read the passage with me. It said that for him those 7 years felt like a couple of days. And I have to be honest and say that my last 35 years have felt like 35 years. But for Jacob, you know, it was like a couple of days. Don't shake your head at me, Jason. And And then the interesting thing in the passage was, I mean, honestly, I don't know how it happened, but, you know, there came that, and maybe it was a cultural thing, there came the night, and Jacob thought that it was Rachel, but in fact it was Leah. And so the following morning, he was bitterly disappointed. And the story just kind of tells us that Jacob, you know, he had the hots, if you don't mind me putting it that way, for Rachel, but not for Leah. Now, I would hazard a guess and argue that probably Leah was a sweetie. Yes? I mean, probably she was a lovely lady, a sweetie. You know, her eyes might have been a bit weak, whatever that means. You know, I mean, but everyone's beautiful. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You are beautiful." But I mean, you know, everybody is beautiful. And I think the point, you're probably thinking, Mick, did you not get enough sleep either last night? But the point I'm trying to make, God has designed each of one of us, he's designed each one of us to be strongly attracted to certain people and not others. And so, obviously, there was something in Jacob that just kind of the switch went on when it came to Rachel, but not to Leah. And God has designed each one of us this way, to just be attracted to certain people and not to other people. Yes? Okay. Now, here's the question. You know me. I like to begin with a question. And the question is, if you were a relationship counselor, or if you are in a relationship and you could have your time again, what would you underline more? Would you underline the chemistry of attraction or character? Tell the person next to you. Honestly, okay, honestly. Okay, let us move on. Let us move on. Here's the second question, and it goes like this. I now want you to imagine that you're not a relationship counselor, but you are the boss of a business. And you are in the business of hiring people. Now, you know what it's like. There are some people, and they have talent. I mean, it's written all over their script, their CV. It's written over their faces. They are talent, talent, talent. These people have the goods. They can deliver. They can do the performance. I mean, they are just super skilled people. But what would you rank number one, honestly? Competency or character? Tell the person next to you. Okay, here's the third one. Here's the third scenario. I mean, you know, a number of us here have to choose spouses, not all of us. Spousal selection, we did that one. Some of us here have to choose people, volunteers, team members, staff. But we all here choose friends. Now let me ask this question. You know, there are some people and you meet them and it's like they light up the room. You know, they look you in the eye. They laugh with freedom. They have a love of style. They're like an electric bulb. You know, you just feel the electricity when you're with them. It's like, and you love to be with them. They're that kind of person. I mean, they are the feel-good people. And when you're with them, it's like buzz, buzz, buzz. They are charismatic personalities. When it comes to choosing friends, do you rank that charisma higher? Really? Than character or not? What do you think? Briefly with the person next to you. Okay. Now, you probably know where I sit on those three. I mean, I would, at the top of my list, put character each and every time. When it comes to choosing a life partner, I would choose character way above everything else. Fortunately for me, I got beauty and character. But we are all beautiful people. But I mean, I would go for character. I looked for someone who was prepared to chuck everything up in the air at a moment's notice and launch out on something new in life. I looked for a person to be my partner in marriage who would be a risk taker. And Ruby has definitely been that. You know, she's full of character. When it comes to hiring people, look, I know that there are well-able people, but by a mile, I'll go for character. And when it comes to friends, I mean, we all know this. You know, friends can break us or they can make us. And sometimes you get alongside these really super charismatic people and you can feel the buzz and it's beautiful. It's a great feeling. But sometimes those people, they can ruin you. You allow them to influence your life and you're a gone burger. So I mean, I rate character each and every time. Now, if character is to be number one, if it's to be number one, how do you know if a person's got character? This is my question this morning. How do you know if someone's got character? I mean, what is the test of character? I mean, what do you use as a test? What's your criteria? What's your grid? How do you know if the person in front of you is a person of character? How do you know that? Is it the way they stand? Is it the way they look? I mean, what's your test? For the last time, tell the person next to you. Go to it. Hey, friends. So how do you know if a person's got character? That's the question. So I have another... Now, I'm just going to change tracks here, and I want you just to keep sliding with me this morning. Okay, just slide away, and it goes like this. If, for argument's sake, there is a meeting on at 9 o'clock and all parties have agreed to be at a meeting at 9 o'clock, do you think people should be on time? There's some very loud yeses out there. Can we have a show of hands on? Or do you think it's acceptable that people are 5 minutes late? There's some nodding. There's a lot of nods over here in this section over here. So that's the question. If there's a meeting at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it's been agreed, whatever time, should people be on time? Or is it absolutely acceptable that, okay, we can extend grace up to 5 minutes? We're going to be Baptists this morning. We're going to take a vote. Okay? So who here would say you got to be on time? Show of hand. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's by far 70%. Who would say it's okay to be 5 minutes late? only a handful. That did take me by surprise. For a number of reasons. Yes. That goes to character. I won't elaborate. So, I heard of a workplace in my research, and in this workplace, if the meeting, a staff meeting, was designated for 8 o'clock, people in this workplace had to be there ready to go and roll at 8. In other words, in this particular workplace, 5 minutes was unacceptable. So if they set the time at 8, you could not roll in after 5. I mean, you couldn't roll in 5 minutes later. If you did roll up late, they had a little ground rule. And the ground rule was that when you walked into the meeting 5 minutes late, you just had to say, "Hey guys, I'm sorry." But you had to do it. You had to actually say sorry. You didn't have to give an explanation, you know, the weather, the traffic, whatever. You just had to say that you were sorry. So there was no groveling, no scolding, you know. You just had to say that you were sorry. Here's the deal, though. If someone walks in and they say, "Oh, look, I'm sorry. Sorry." And you sit down. And then 2 weeks later, "Oh, same person. I'm sorry. Yep, sorry." 3 weeks later, you know, "Oh, sorry. Sorry." What do you think? Do you think they mean sorry? You see, or has a shift occurred, and they've shifted from carelessness to an issue around character. Are you with me? Have they shifted from, you know, kind of loosey-goosey carelessness to now it's no longer in that realm? Now there's something fundamentally at odds with this person, and there is a character issue. So, my question was, how do you know if someone is a person of character? Given that I think character outranks chemistry, competency, charismatic personality. So Jesus, and interestingly, his brother, James, has given us some pointers on the criteria for character. So, if you've got your Bibles, come with me. Can you come with me to Matthew chapter 5? Okay, Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 37. Okay, Matthew 5. And let me read, and it goes like this. It says, Jesus says, simply let your, do you know the verse? Simply let your yes be maybe. No. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Then Jesus says, anything beyond this actually comes from the evil one. Okay? Kind of comes from dysfunction, if you like. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Now, if you can come with me to James chapter 5. James 5. James 5 and verse 12. And it goes like this. And James, the brother of Jesus, says, "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or earth." In other words, what James is saying there is, you know, don't embellish things. You know, you get some people and they come to you and they just come, you know, in an overly strong manner. They're all up, they're pumping, they're amped, and they just over say things and over promise things. They embellish. I've learned not to trust that. Have you learned that too? You know, it's like an overkill. And you see these people. I've just learned not to trust that, actually. And then James go on, and he says, like his brother Jesus, simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. So friends, what is the test of character this morning? It is this. Jesus is saying, and James is saying, listen people, mean what you say. Mean what you say. Be true to your word. Keep your promises. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. These are the people of character. And so, I have some questions here, and I've written them down. I have some questions. Have you made a promise? Did you make a promise last year? Follow through on it. Let's be people who keep our promises. Let our yes be yes. You know, have we joined a small group? Then rock up. You know, I heard of a church that if you want to join their small groups, you actually have to sign a covenant. And you covenant yourself that you'll be there each and every week. I thought that was great. Sign the dotted line. Let your yes be yes. You know, if we as a people here, and we've looked ourselves in the mirror, and we've said to ourselves sometimes in the bathroom as we look in that mirror, I'm not going to do that again. Then may we stop what needs to be stopped. Let our no be no. Let's be people of character. You know, in our workplace, if we're given a half an hour for a lunch, don't take 45 minutes. If we're given an hour, let's not take an hour and a half. If we have agreed to certain things in our workplaces, let's abide by that which we have agreed to. If we've started a new course, a new thing at school or at university or wherever, turn up to classes. You know, no excuses. Excuse making is endemic in New Zealand. And those excuses will rob us of progress. I mean, I just think we've, each one of us here, have got to place ourselves on the side of willingness. And just follow through. And if this is your church, and you have made some sacred vows and pledges to this church, then you support this church. Be a person of character. And you know what a supporter of a church is? They are the people who support those things that in our church are currently weak and in need of support. And even though we may not like the thing, we'll turn up because we will support that which is weak to make it strong. In other words, people, what I'm talking about this morning is, let's be people this year of integrity. Do you like that? I mean, people of integrity. And who are the people of integrity? They are the people who, where their yes is yes and their no is no. Look, I've got to finish. And it goes like this. I know that there are churches in Auckland, and those churches, I mean, they're full of the beautiful people. Have you been to them? For you, it may be this church. But, I don't know, sometimes churches are like that, and they, you know, kind attracts kind. And it's like you walk into some churches, and all the cool people are there.
You know, all the kind of beautiful people. There are those churches. And I want to say, God bless them. Do you know? I want to say, God bless them. But I have a dream. That maybe our church will be full of all of the uncool people, actually. I always thought that that was a kingdom church. That kingdom churches are actually full of uncool people. That's why we came here. But my greater dream is a church of character. A church of character. Do you know there are some churches in Auckland, and I get to speak at them, and they are full of able, talented people. They are full of people who have got every imaginable skill set. You walk in there and you know you are seated amongst some pretty high-powered people. You just know that that's the kind of group that they are. And we have those people here too. But my dream is that we be a church of character. Not just competency, but character. And I know there are churches in Auckland, and you walk in and everybody's a friend. And it's like buzz, buzz, buzz. It's like there's all this feel-good energy floating around, and everybody's getting off on each other. That charismatic friendship thing. But my dream is that we be a church of character. Now, I know, friends, that to be a person of character costs you a lot. You know, to be a person who keeps your word no matter what, where your yes is yes and your no is no, that's no easy deal. So to finish, and I think I've told this story in an evening session a couple of years ago, it's a true story. There was this young, well, not young actually, there was this old, they were getting older, a couple, and they had 18 children. I mean, the poor woman, you know, stokes. So 18 children. And, you know, the dad, he was a goldsmith, and he was kind of into jewelry, that kind of thing. And they were just making ends meet. I mean, it was just really tough going. 18 kids. Let's get real here. And there were two brothers numbered amongst the 18. And these two brothers, they got on really well. They were good mates. And they both had a similar vision and dream for their life. And the dream and the vision for their life was that they would become artists. Because they both kind of had some talent in that area. But they knew that the parents could not afford it. So one night, late in their room, they struck up a deal together. And the deal was that they would flip a coin. And the person who won the toss would go to art school. This is a true story. And the person who lost the toss would go to the mines. And would work hard for 4 years. And so they flipped the coin, and one brother by the name of Albrecht, he won. So he went to this art school, and his brother Albert, he went to the mines and worked in the mines for 4 hard, grueling, hellish, terrible, body-suffering years. And the brother who went to art school, he just came into his own. And I mean, during the week, I went out and looked at some of his art pieces. D-U-R-E-R is the surname. Did you know the story? And just his woodcutting, his etchings, he just became this famous artist. But you see, they had struck a deal, and both of them were people of character. And the yes meant yes, and the no meant no. And so after 4 years, the family all got together, and they had a family do. And then the Albrecht, he stood up, who was now an emerging artist. He stood up and said to Albert, who had slouched in a chair, he said to Albert, "I have done 4 years at art school. Now it's time for me to take your place, and it's time for you now to go to art school so that you might fly and soar like an eagle as well." And while he was saying this, Albert, who was slouched in the chair, began to sob horrendously, just cried and cried and cried. And as he was crying, all he could say was, "No, no, 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 no." And Albrecht said, "What do you mean, no?" And then Albert brought his hands out for the whole family to see, and his hands had become, you know, his fingers had been broken numerous times. They were gnarled and twisted, and there was no way in which he now could become an artist. And when I read that story, I mean, it's a tragic story in one sense, but it's also a story that reminds us, and this is our reminder series. It reminds us that there is a cost to being a person of character. And all of us must make vows and pledges and sacred promises to all manner of things. And we've got to let our yes be yes and our no be no, even if it costs us a lot. And it cost Albert a lot. So that's my question this morning. Will you be a person of integrity this year? Of character. Not just of charisma. Not just charismatic. Not just competency. But character. Character. So, we're going to share communion to finish up with. And I'd like Nikki and Jason to come up the front. And I'd like Joe and Lenita to come up front. And can I ask you two lovely girls to come up front too, to help serve the communion? Do you mind? I'm asking people who are either newish, sort of coming backish, leaving-ish. And who else? Is there anybody else here who is sort of... Oh, Sarah and Elliot. Yes, you come up here too. That'd be great. I'm not going to ask you to say anything. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I just need some helpers here with communion. I wonder if, Phil, if we could have your crew up there, and while we are taking the bread and the cup, that you do the creed... again, singing it for us. Yeah. So the muso's up as well. Look, listen, people, as we take this cup and as we take this bread, it reminds us, stick with me, come back, come to the table. This table reminds us of a creator God who made certain promises. And he said to Abraham, and then he said to to Jacob, and he said to the people of Israel, this God said, and he promised that one day he would come back in person and become the Messiah for Israel, and as the Messiah, also be the Lord of the earth, and he has done so. This table reminds us that our God keeps his promises. Our God is a God of character. And if you therefore want to be a person of character, turn to the one who can so morph and change and transform your life that you also become someone where your yes is yes and your no is no. It's not just willpower. There is someone who can help you to become. So as you take the cup and as you take the bread, remind yourself of this God of character. May you eat the symbols that remind us of his life, where his life can live in your life and help you to become. So, I wonder if I could have all of my helpers who volunteered graciously to come and stand on side of me here. This is great. Thank you very much. Let us pray, people. Let us pray. Our God, we come to this table of remembrance where you've asked us to remind ourselves of who you are. The Creator God who has made and kept promises. Where your yes was yes and your no was no. As we eat these symbols, O Lord, may your life become our life, such that we will leave here growing in this capacity to be people of character. And we pray this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you for you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. So just take a cup, take one of these and one of these, and just go to various parts that would be